This is FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
We're going to have another great show today, Rutherford County. And I want to let you know that the first part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive. And at Stan's, they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac in the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shevaville, Tennessee area. They have a large selection that ensures that you can have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. For a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. How would you like to have oil changes and tires for life at no additional charge for your new or pre-owned vehicle? Now you can, but only at Stan McNabb, Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, GMC, and Stan McNabb Jeep, Dodge, Chrysler in Tullahoma, and Stan McNabb Ford in Lewisburg. You heard right, no more oil changes to pay for, no more tires to buy. Tommy Horde, how would you like to have a deal like that?
It'd be very helpful to me since I've changed a lot of oil in my lifetime.
You've done a lot of things in your lifetime. Did you know Stan's mom and dad, Stanley McNabb and Nancy McNabb?
Yeah, I did. He didn't Stan's daddy, didn't he work at Seward for a long time?
He worked at Seward. He worked at Sally Ann Bread Company. Uncle Stanley did a lot of things back then. Of course, he was a squire back then. You remember when they used to call
he was what they call a magistrate now.
It changed so much, but it's still the same thing. Back then, I think they had 56.
Had a lot of them. I do remember when there were a lot more of them than there are now. I knew your Uncle Ben better than any of them.
Now, you guys were about in the same class.
We were a couple of years apart. Ben and my sister Louise were same age, went to high school together, went to UT together.
You know, the Horde family is known historically through just about everybody that has roots here. And I have always been fascinated with the Horde farm. And of course, Bubba was closer to my age and actually played baseball with Bubba. On the Yankees when baseball first started coming into play here, organized baseball.
Kiwanis Club, four teams.
Yes, four teams. And it's the Yankees, the Red Sox, the Cubs, and the Cardinals. And you and I were talking before we ever got on the air about some of the people that have made such an impact in our lives over the years. And you had a neat story about two of my favorite people. And that's Gilbert Sharon, who was my first coach and did so many things for me, and Mr. Jack Jolly. Tell me about one of the stories on those.
Well, first I'm going to tell you, Gilbert was your baseball coach.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I remember I was in high school when all that Little League started, but I remember Gilbert. He left here, taught at the University of Georgia, I believe, mm-hmm. for years.
Yeah, he went there.
But that story I was telling you, a friend of mine named Paul James grew up here. And I guess this would be fall of 50. And University of Tennessee was playing in the Sugar Bowl, playing Maryland. And I wanted to go so bad. I was 14 years old. I had as much business being in New Orleans. But, you know, I didn't have any business being there. But Daddy said, if you can find somebody that he was a big UT fan, went mm-hmm. to school up there himself, and a big Raider fan, had right. season tickets both places.
Right.
And
you can do that. That's fair.
He used to go up to the day games at UT and come back and catch the Raiders at night. And get about three quarters of the game out here. He kept them for years that way, but he got us some tickets, and so he either asked. Somehow we got Gilbert and Jack Jolly to take Paul and I. Paul was a year ahead of me in school. And so we were going down for New Year's Day 51, the Sugar Bowl. And I remember we spent the night. Jack had just gotten a brand new Chevrolet. I mean, Gilbert had gotten a brand new Chevrolet, a 51 model, probably came out in the fall. We took that car, and we got to Hattiesburg, Mississippi, about 4 o'clock in the evening. And Gilbert said, this would be a good place to stop, and then we'll get an early start in the morning and go into New Orleans. It was about 3 or 4 hours, I guess, away then. No interstates. Mm-hmm. And Jack was more anxious to get to New Orleans on New Year's Eve than Gilbert was. Now, Truman, I was 14, Paul was 15, but we were little boys, and we'd heard about Bourbon Street and New Orleans and New Year's Eve. But anyway, Gilbert's good common sense, I guess, prevailed, and we spent the night in Hattiesburg. And I think we got out of there before daylight, headed to New Orleans. And that was a 14-year-old guy. I still talk about that trip, and every time I see Jack, we laugh about that trip. And after the game, I know we lost
the
game.
Yeah, we lost.
We lost the game, and we drove all the way back, nonstop. And we got into Murfreesboro probably 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. But just before we went, Daddy said, you got to get home of Pittard, I guess, had just taken over as principal. Maybe he was assistant principal. Mm-hmm. Said, you got to get permission, because we went back to school before. We went to school on New Year's Day back in that day. And we would be gone basically the day after, too. And I called Mr. Pittard, and my heart was in my throat. I was as scared of him as I was talking to the Grim Reaper. And he carried me on that telephone. He had to have been laughing. He said, I don't know, Tom. You're going to be gone how long? Be gone 3 days. Well, you know, it's school days. And he went on and on and on. And all of a sudden, he broke out into that deep belly laugh he had. And he said, I think that's wonderful. You got an extra ticket? I'll go with you. And I was so scared, I thought, he does want to go. I got to get a fifth ticket somewhere. But and we laughed about that in years past. He let us go, and we had a great time. But Jolly, we laugh about that. Dolly, Jack's wife, had some school connection with my wife, Betty. I don't know whether she's from Shelbyville or she taught in Shelbyville or what, but they had a history.
So Jack didn't put up a fight not getting there early so he could walk down Bourbon Street.
I don't think Jack went to sleep much that night. I remember we ate supper and went to bed, and I think it was not daylight. Of course, it was wintertime, but I think we got out of that motel about 4 that morning. We were in New Orleans before 9 o'clock, and we got about as much Bourbon Street, I'm sure, as any of us needed. And I guess they were still, I don't remember that part of it, but I remember Jack was chomping at the bit to get to Bourbon Street, and I think he was right.
You know, it's an occasion. I don't know how many people have ever had the opportunity to do that. We went down a few years ago, but they had the big dome stadium when we went down, and that was an interesting thing. But one thing that still sticks with me is all the orange that was in downtown in New Orleans on Bourbon Street and all over the place. I mean, you couldn't hardly see. I think they were playing Virginia that year, and you couldn't hardly see any of them. But there were people of orange all over the place.
Well, those fans like to travel. They do. I used to go to a lot of away games, but But as I said, my dad had season tickets out here. I've seen more Blue Raider games than I have Tennessee games. I had season tickets at UT. Gave them up this year. Mm-hmm. Just my legs just giving me fits. I can't.
Why didn't you call me?
Walk. Well, you can buy them. There's plenty of them, I understand. My friend Kenneth Hayes and I had them together, and he kept his, and he said, you can buy single game tickets now.
Yeah, you can.
And
I've already got my Raider tickets anyway. But.
But my dad
used to
do that. He would go to both games and come back and watch. Raiders always played at night most of that time. And
your daddy was such a great guy.
I remember him
when we were playing Little League ball and on up being with you guys, of course, being with Bubba a lot. How was it growing up on that farm? It was one of the most beautiful farms in Rutherford County and still is. Of course, you got a few little things running through it right now, but that wasn't there before. But farm life back then just had to have been just a different
system. Well, it was. It was. It was. We considered ourselves 5 miles from Murfreesboro. Now the city limits actually runs down there on Broad Street to pass us. I guess it runs to Florence Road down there. Mm-hmm. And but you're right, it was a great life. We played in Overall Creek. I think I knew every rock in Overall Creek from the falls that's on the Howard Bell's farm to down there where it goes under Broad Street. But used to swim in what we called 7 foot hole, and it was about 7 foot, the deepest hole in the creek, I guess. And in fact, Bubba, you were talking about Bubba. I remember Bubba diving off bank there one day, and he was too far away from the 7 foot part of the swimming hole. Hit his head on a rock, and they had taken him down and sew him up. Mm-hmm. But it was great. I know you had Newt Malloy on here mm-hmm. a week or so ago. Newt's daddy, Mr. Newt, and my daddy were great farming friends. And they were great bird hunting buddies. In fact, they owned a dog together, old Sam. I can still remember Sam, a setter. And they used to hunt a lot. And I can remember as a little boy, he'd come in from hunting, and he'd have rubber boots on, go up to about his knees. I can remember we'd line up on the hip, pull his boots off. But a lot of birds around here then, quail. And they'd go up in Jamestown, up in that part, northern part of Middle Tennessee. But they were, when Newt was on, I heard a few minutes of it, and I thought about Mr. Newt and my daddy and all those bird hunting stories.
You know, it's funny the relations that we have had over all these years, and everybody seems to be in the same book together. I mean, we may have different paragraphs, but that farm, and one of the things that's really interesting is how many people are born on a farm and continue to live their whole life on that one farm. And Bubba has been one of those people. That's been a major part of his life.
He's lived there, with the exception of when he and Joy married, they had an apartment or a duplex or something. He's lived there all his life. That's true. And we've had several families that lived there for a long period of time. The Gillies family mm-hmm. lived there for years. I still see Tommy. He's out mm-hmm. at Boulevard Terrace, and he was born there.
Oh.
And but it's great memories, I can tell you, but the county's all changed, and that's the way life is. And so, but yeah, it was a great life. It was a great life.
Is the old house still standing?
It is, and that's Bubba raised his family there. Yeah, it's still there, and
now,
they live there.
What is the other place over there? You got another house over there that the teenagers used to sneak over and go to.
You mean that right there where the house is?
Right, uh-huh.
Well, it's what we call the old kitchen. When they built those houses back in the day, as they say, they had the kitchen away from the house, I mm-hmm. guess for fire reasons. But
they
cooked in there, and we called it the old kitchen. And actually, probably 40 years ago, maybe a little longer, my mother and daddy turned that into what I guess today they'd call a townhouse. Got mm-hmm. two bedrooms upstairs mm-hmm. and a den and a dining room, the kitchen downstairs. And so it's, and that's where my nephew and his wife, who they just had a child last week, and a second child, that's where they live. Mm-hmm. And Bubba's and Joy in the big house. And but yeah, it was.
Bubba would
so
never...
you remember that old
yeah.
We call it the old kitchen.
Yeah. Bubba would never be happy anywhere away from that place, would he?
No, that's really his life, and he's worked hard out there all his life, and now his son, a youngest son, is out there with him, mm-hmm. and they're still farming. And
you've got one of those places that probably mirrors Rutherford County changes more than any other place in the community. It's when history meets progress. And I never will forget when they started, the interstates started to be built around here. It made a whole difference in the Horde property there, didn't it?
Yeah, 840 coming through, really. It's, you and I were talking earlier, it mm-hmm. kind of cut it in like a slicing up a pie.
Mm-hmm.
And came off close to the house, too. Used to be quiet country setting. Now those big interchange lights shine almost to Smyrna, you know, there. So, yeah, it's a big change. It really is. It changed the whole dynamics of the thing. But that's part of it, they say.
You know, you went to school with some interesting people here at Central. And your classes, they accomplished a great deal. I mean, they're names that are very prominent in the downtown area and across the state of Tennessee. Are there any that you remember? Of course, Earl Roberts was one of them that was fairly close to your class, and I've talked to him a number of times. And that's one area of our history that we really haven't touched on as much as I would like to, because that was the start of the 50s. I mean, that was the start of really the closeness of everybody.
Earl was a senior when I was a freshman. And Truman, I always thought the 50 team, high school team out there, and Mr.
Great
Pate,
team.
Was probably the best football team Central ever had till the 70 team mm-hmm. with David Parsons and that group that won the state. I was talking to David the other day. I think he told me they had
16 or 17.
Yeah. They had two guys that signed pro baseball mm-hmm. contracts. They had some athletes.
They went to major colleges, 16
right.
or 17 of them
that's
went to
right.
major colleges.
I mean, they were just – I doubt the state – of Tennessee's had many teams that were that good.
Even I don't
their
think
very
they ever
best.
Had.
They were great. Earl, you ought to get Earl on. I saw Earl and Billy Rogers, Dallas Cook.
Oh my goodness!
The other day at lunch, and just hearing them telling those stories, it was something else. Those guys, if they could just talk about that 50s season, and some of the Lee Pate stories, and some of those locker room encounters when they were playing, and it was great, and they were real athletes. And like you said, the town was so much smaller. You talk about a town coming around a team. Now they supported that team.
And then Brock Sanders,
Brock
course,
was a tailback.
He's gone.
Yeah,
now,
Brock's gone. And Billy, you know, went on, played college ball, and lives back here in Murfreesboro, but they got some great stories. Earl, if you could get him on, he
played both basketball and football, which I think a lot of them did back then. Do you remember Catherine Washington?
Catherine grew up during her high school days up Asbury Road.
Okay,
lived in a couple of miles up Asbury Road there from us, and she and my sister were in the same class, and Catherine was over at the house a lot, and she was great. I mean, well, you know how great an athlete she is, but she had a sense of humor mm-hmm. that would just keep you in stitches.
Does and she still live here?
She still lives here, and she came along before girls basketball was as popular as it is today.
It's 3-on-3 back then.
Yeah. She could have played anywhere, I guess. And she actually left, when she left Central, graduated from Central, I think she played some college ball in Wayland, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Wayland College, Wayland, Texas. Where it, and then she played a lot in Nashville, softball and basketball.
She played on a pro team, I think.
Well, there was a semi-pro team, I guess you'd call them. Cook's Goldblum Beer had a team down there in Nashville. And I think it was a beer. But they sponsored the team, and she played because she was teaching school, I think, in Texas during the school year a lot, and she played a lot of softball. And I think she probably played some pro basketball as they had it, because we're talking almost 60 years ago now.
Well, I've had people relate her to Babe Dietrich and Zaharias, that she was that great of an athlete. Any sport that she wanted to take up, she was good as just about any guy back then, and that was amazing.
They say she still plays a mean game of golf out here on these.
That's amazing.
Golf course, yeah, and I'm sure she does, because she could do anything in the way of sports, but she had the greatest sense of humor. She could tell you stories that put you in the aisle laughing. she was, and you know, I don't think she grew up here. I think she grew up maybe in Nashville or somewhere in her early years and came here just about the high school years. But she lived up Asbury Road there, and I know right where she lived. In fact, I'm not sure what that house still standing.
And then you left here and went to UT.
I went to UT,
and your dad had preceded you there, right?
He'd gone up there a couple of years, and he sent all four of us up there. But I'll tell you a little story about your Uncle Ben.
Uh-oh.
When I think, I was still in high school, and a group of us, Doris Jernigan and the Parsley Brothers, Ralph Massey, who made All-American out here.
Oh, he was unbelievable. Yeah. I remember him.
And Max Goff, Jackie's brother, John Burkhart. There were seven of us, got in a car and went to the Cotton Bowl. And we were out there sitting in the stands watching it. We were 15, 16, I guess, then. Some of them was a year older. And Ben, your Uncle Ben, was a great athlete. He really was. He was basketball was more his game in high school.
He loved basketball.
He could play basketball with anybody and win. And he played a lot of defense and football too. I don't know what prevailed him to do this, but he was a good enough athlete to do it. He was a cheerleader.
Yeah.
When he was a freshman at UT. I asked him about it a few months ago. He said he just did it one year. I think he just wanted to see if he could do it. Of course, you got to be an athlete to throw those gals up in the air and be sure and catch them when they come back down. But we looked out there on the field, and the cheerleaders were dressed in their orange and white, and I don't know who they were playing, but Ben comes out with the cheerleaders, and all the Tennessee cheerleaders are barefooted. And that's kind of, I guess it was trying to be Tennessee Hillbillies or something. I don't know what it was. Looked there, and there was a boy named Jimmy Neal, Neal's Electric Service. And we all looked at each other, what is Jimmy doing out there? He's not a cheerleader. He was a year ahead of Ben in school. And the story was, Jimmy after that said he couldn't get a ticket. So your Uncle Ben said, if you'll just put on a white shirt and an orange shirt and white pants or something, and be willing to take your shoes off, meet us down at this gate, and we'll just let you run in with the cheerleaders. That actually happened. And I've forgotten that was 52 or 3 or something. But Ben got him in. They used to laugh about that, but I remember Ben was a cheerleader up there one year, just to see if he could do it. And
Ben was hard-headed, and he was very strong-willed. And I don't know if you knew it or not, but Ben was not supposed to go to Central. You know, he was targeted to go to Kittrell. And he just put his back up. And Papa Jones, my granddaddy, got pretty hot about it. But he was adamant, and he went there pretty much on his own. And that's just the way he was. If Ben ever got anything in his head to do, he was going to do it. It didn't matter what anybody said.
I'll tell you what else he could do. He could dance a hole in the floor.
Oh, he's talented.
He could dance the shoes off somebody. They used to call it jitterbugging back then, mm-hmm. I guess. But he could dance and dance and dance. I never will forget that after those high school games, somebody would have a little party or something and put that record player to work, and he'd be out there dancing.
Oh, he was the lead in a number of plays they had at UT. Aunt Nancy took me to see one of them. And he was pretty talented. He really was.
He was talented. Yeah. Good fella, too. He just lives down the street about a block or two from us now, over there on Lytle, you know.
He's led one of the more interesting lives of anybody I've ever known. He's been everywhere, done everything. I think there's probably no one that knows Europe better than Uncle Ben does. Uh-oh, we got a phone call. We're going to have to put our ears on, Tom. So, caller, welcome aboard with Mr. Tom Horton.
Yes, is he the fella that was a nurse for Dr. Joe Knight?
I know who this is. You told
I
me.
I believe he was a nurse.
You told
me. I'm not sure. I'll hang up and listen to you tell me if he was.
You better hang up. I know who this is. This is my good friend Charlie Farrell. There's a story behind this, I guess. Which I'm not going to tell.
Okay.
But he told me one time when they were interviewing Joe on this same radio station, he said, I started to call up there and ask him the same question he just asked, because Charlie and I went in Joe's office one day, and when we go off air, I'll tell you the story, but it was hilarious. I'm telling you, it was hilarious.
You know, that's the hard thing about being on the radio show is a lot of times the best stories are the ones that you can't tell. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you. One of our new sponsors is At Home Care, where they're at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, and they're right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. You can reach them at 713-4639 or check out their website at www.athomecaretennessee.com. And what they provide for you is a service that I think that we will all need at one time, and many need it right now. As you get older, you have a harder time taking care of the task that you have to take care of at your home. And none of us wants to leave our home. And they provide a person's ability to remain at home, and they go in and take care of the errands, laundry, personal needs, light housekeeping, transportation to appointments, grocery shopping, meal preparation, medication reminders, and many other things. And they're available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If you're having any specific times, whether it's an age problem or you're having physical problems or whatever, and you just need help, give them a call.
This is Sean Brown at Southeastern Tire Service, where we now offer the Michelin Promise Plan. The Michelin Promise Plan is a new offer which includes a 30-day ride guarantee, 3-year flat tire changing assistance, and a limited mileage warranty on all Michelin passenger and light truck tires, replacement and original issue. Did you know we now provide air conditioning service? Let our ASC certified technicians get your car road ready today.
Southeastern Tire Service on Broad Street across from Advance Auto.
Guardian has over 125 years combined experience in security, fire, camera systems, and access control for your home and business. Contact Guardian at 459-1040 at mygss.com.
Guardian, we help you keep your guard up.
459-1040.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
Well, here it is Thursday, and Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank. The Red Cross is having a blood drive all through the day today. That goes on until 6 o'clock tonight. The new Red Cross office is at 501 Memorial Boulevard. That's the former Chamber of Commerce building. That Red Cross blood drive all through the day today until 6 o'clock tonight. And speaking of the Red Cross, don't forget the big barn party Saturday night at 6 over at Wamak Stable. That's on Barfield Crescent Road. Delicious barbecue, live music, All sorts of fun. Plus the 64 band, Reliving the Beatles. The tickets are $50 each, and this is a fundraiser for the Red Cross. They do so much to help us locally. To get your tickets to Saturday night's barn party, call the Red Cross at 893-4272. That's Saturday night. Now at 5:30 this evening, a caregiver's view dealing with the changes in Alzheimer's disease in the late stages. This is over at Stones River Manor, and it's free and open to caregivers. Dinner is also provided. That's at 5:30 tonight at Stones River Manor. Call them at 893-5617. And the farmers markets in the morning from 6 to 11 at the Lane Agri Park. That's 6 to 11 in the morning, and that's at 315 John Rice Boulevard, just down from Sam's and next to Paws. And the MTSU summer graduation is this Saturday morning at 10 over at Murphy Center. Congratulations to the 863 new Blue Raiders. Remember to get those Good Neighbor events to us at least 2 weeks before they occur. WGNS Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by First Bank.
WeatherEye.
Occasional sunshine this afternoon, slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm, high in the low 90s. Tonight, gradual clearing, low 67. Friday, sunny, high of 91. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 86.
If you drive a GM vehicle, listen up.
We can do gauge repairs for half the price you're charged at the auto dealer, and it won't take 2 weeks.
This is Amy at Todd's Complete Auto Care Center. We can do it same day.
This is Shelby.
Come see me.
We're on Southeast Broad across from the Discovery Center.
Now more of The Truman Show with Truman Jones on WGNS AM and FM.
With today's guest, Mr. Tommy Horn.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips, now how about you?
Welcome back with Mr. Tommy Horde, and the song that you're listening to, or were listening to, is Tom Brady. John Blankenship and Friends, and Avant Lang, Ken Frizzell, Sarah Frizzell, and Billy Yearwood make up the band, and that is Tom Brady's place, and he refurbished the mill, Tommy, a few years ago, and it's just like it was 200 years ago. And on Saturday morning, you can go over there at 8 a.m. and stay to 1 p.m. and have one of the best meals that you've ever had, and take a step back in time, a couple hundred years, and the meal still works. It's amazing. Can you believe that that's still going on here?
I was talking to W.K. Lane yesterday. He said he wanted to go up there and go. I think he said I may go up there this Saturday and eat breakfast. I don't know whether he'd ever been, but that popped out of his mouth yesterday morning. I have not been, but I've heard it's sure worth doing.
Well, you need to take some of your buddies over there. In fact, I'd be going with you this Saturday, but I'm going to be out of town, unfortunately, because I do really hate missing it. But we're going to have to put our ears back on, because I think we've got another call. Caller, welcome aboard with Mr. Tommy Horde.
Sheriff?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
You got Mr. Ford on. He's one of the best friends I've ever had. I've dealt with him being a business-like way for 40 years, and he's one of the nicest men in this county.
Oh, I agree with you.
Well, thank you. Sure is nice to hear him. Thank you, sir.
Now, who was that, Tom?
That would be Yule Sauls.
Oh, my goodness.
I know that voice anywhere.
I should have known his voice.
There's a guy that's got, he can tell you more history than anybody that I know of. He's still cutting hair.
Yeah, and he's been there just about as long as that square has
been
there.
He's been there. He cut my hair, he said, and I know he did over there. Well, he's been on the square, I guess, the whole time, moved around one side to the other, but he cut my hair, I guess, at old original Ideal, a fellow named Beatty on that shop, I think. I can still remember where it was, but... there were a group of barbers in there, and Mr. Sauls was a young fella in there cutting hair, and I know he cut my hair. Yeah, he's full of history as anybody that you'll ever see.
You know, that's one of the fun parts about getting a haircut when you're a guy, is that you can catch up on just about anything that you want to, that's going on in the in the community. But there's one question. I was at a barbershop this morning, and they had an old 1930 picture of the Prince's Theater, and it's in it's at the place where we used to go and watch the movies. But it said across the street there was a service station. Now, I remember a service station on back the other way, back from town, but I don't remember one across the street from where I was trying to find Pennies. There was a Pennies over there at one time.
Yeah. There was a service station right across from the Prince's on, was that College Street, uh-huh. I guess, isn't it? Right where Pinnacle is now.
Right.
And you would pull in under, you could, it was a cafe and had a couple of pumps, and you'd pull in out of the weather under mm-hmm. to get into those pumps. Of course, if you were in the restaurant, you couldn't do anything. You had to stay in your car, I guess. In those days, they pumped your gas. But, yeah, there was one, I can remember, a station over there. And, in fact, we were talking about Earl Roberts. Earl and I were talking Tuesday, I guess, about cost 12 cents to go to the movie if you were a kid then.
Oh, I remember that.
I think 35 if you were an adult. So it was, yeah, and that was back in the day, as they say.
Well, we have another caller. We have two callers on board. So welcome aboard, Mr. Tom Hoard.
Hi, Granddaddy.
Hey, right. How are you?
That's my youngest grandson. That's Gabe. And Gabe would talk till sundown. So, Gabe, we're going to Gatlinburg this weekend, so you get ready.
Got to get ready.
That's right.
You take care of your mommy. I'll be out to
see you later on.
I'll be out to see you later on. I love you, Gabe.
Isn't that great?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Now, how old is Gabe?
Gabe will be 6 in November.
Oh, my goodness. There's nothing like him.
He's something else, I tell you. He spent the night with us last night, so we had a big time.
All right. We got another caller on the line. We may have another grandkid here. Caller, welcome aboard.
Mr. Jones?
Yes, sir.
That service station you was talking about across from the old theater, Mr. Lytle Thompson used to run it. He called it the Baptist Station. Mr. Thompson was a good mechanic. He could fix anything, and he did his own making parts and things like that for cars back then. Now they just change parts, you know.
Now, was that straight across from the Prince's?
From the old theater. I think Mr. Tom DeMint run it while Harris DeMint's daddy. I think he run it while, too.
Okay.
It's a service station right across from the old theater over on College Street, right across from Pinnacle Bank.
You pulled in out of the weather, didn't you, Mr. Charles?
Yes, sir.
Pulled under something, and they had a
Mr. Lytle Thompson run it, and he was a master mechanic. He could fix any kind of a car, and he was a good mechanic.
I remember his name.
Yes, sir. He was one of the finest fellas you ever saw. I went down there one time and didn't have any money, and he fixed my car and let me pay him when I got some money. That's the kind of man he was.
Well, that's the way
his daddy used to be the sheriff here.
Yes, sir.
You remember Mr. Wilkie Thompson?
Yes, sir, I do.
He that's when the sheriff lived at the jail.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Mr.
Mr. Charles, I want to ask you a question.
Did
you always cut hair around the square?
I worked at Ideal Shop 10 years, and we moved over on College Street. We was over there a while.
Right,
Tip
right.
Top Barbershop was over there a while, and then we moved over here, and I've been here soon be 40 years on 15 Public Square.
Well, you've been a good friend to me for a long time.
Well,
I
you've been a wonderful friend
in.
To me, too, because you brought me a good lunch the other night. You had everything good in there. Your wife sent me a nice piece of cake, and I really enjoyed it.
You can be sure I didn't fix it. That's
well,
why it was so good.
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Thank you for being my friend all these years.
Thank you, sir.
All right, sir.
I appreciate that call because for some reason I could not remember it. Do you remember when Mr. Murray mm-hmm. had a station on, and I think that was down off of East Main Street, wasn't it?
He had a place right there, wasn't it, next to, it's a parking lot now, I guess, what is that, SunTrust?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It sat right in there somewhere, didn't it?
Yeah, and he used to hire, one thing I really remember, he would hire young high school boys to come over there and work at his service station. My brother would work there, and he thought it was the neatest thing because Mr. Murray just treated him so great and paid him a pretty good salary, I guess, for that particular time. Gave him spending money anyway.
I remember it being, I think at the time, I recall it was Amoco Station, and that may not be right. I don't know, but I remember the station being, I think it's where that bank parking lot, part of that now.
But, you know, the downtown area, I guess about the only place that you can really go and get the pictorial part of it would be probably over at Shackley's, because I know he kept up with the history of Murfreesboro, and I can remember some of those pictures. They go back way before my time or your time, either one. And
yeah,
that's something that's really, it's still interesting to me, because I like to compare my memory for what really actually was, and sometimes I'm a little askew off of it.
I've got a book that my friend Kenneth Hayes gave me the other day about when the maneuvers were here in Rutherford
mm-hmm.
County.
Mm-hmm.
And I've forgotten who wrote it, but I think he lives in Nashville. And it's just about those years I didn't realize they were here off and on that long, but they came apparently in 1941 and were here through 1944.
Mm-hmm.
And of course Patton was here, and what I guess became the Third Army. It's really interesting because it talks about some of these things in Murfreesboro and around the county, and it's got pictures in there, and it talked about Shelton Edwards, who mm-hmm. was old county judge in those days. But I've enjoyed that, and it's a book you just kind of move around in. It's just full of stories about almost things that happened out at some crossroads.
Mm-hmm.
And but all those maneuvers were out there at the farm, as they were all over Rutherford County. And there was, I can remember we'd come home from school, and I would ask my mother, I was in like first, second grade, of the maneuvers out there, because they would dig in and be there one night and get up the next morning, they're gone.
Mm.
They were practicing.
You know, the history of your old place is in where Bubba's living now. That goes all the way back to the Civil War. I mean, that's some of the biggest battles in the country were fought right there.
Yeah. Well, it was a hospital. It was a Union hospital, actually, mm-hmm. during the Civil War. And I guess it was behind the lines. And I may be wrong about that, but I think it was considered behind the lines. It's about a mile and a half, 2 miles from Stones River mm-hmm. Cemetery, and it was the Union used it as a hospital, and so it's got some history to it. It's been some good times in it too, though, not just all war, bad times. We had some awful good times out there. There were four of us growing up out there, and we had some awful good times.
That's, well, actually an idyllic place. I bet you were probably hounded by a number of people that had these metal detectors that were out looking for bullets and buckles and all the other things that they love to collect.
Too much so.
Was Matthew Royal one of them?
Well, Matthew was one of the good guys.
Yes, he was.
I'll tell you a little story. I was out there checking the cows one day, and I walked up on four guys, and they all had those metal detectors. It was down there kind of where the low jack is, mm-hmm. across from there and back toward the river. And I asked them where they were from. They were from Atlanta. And I said, why didn't you stop in Chattanooga and dig? They said, well, Chattanooga's dug out. And so I did politely ask them to leave, and they said, well, there's four more of us, and they've gone down toward Overall Creek. And that day and time, that old roadside park was still there on the four-lane highway. Mm-hmm. They said, we're parked down there. So they did leave. They said they had to sit there and wait for the group photo to come up. I don't know where the others were. But, yeah, they'd hound you. They would hound you. And too much so, really. But now there was a lot going on around there back in the Battle of Stones River.
You got into the real estate business in the early 70s, and
right.
you were with Clark Maples, and of course I played football with Clark, and a great guy. I mean, he was one of those people who just had a great personality. And how was it, that's when Murfreesboro really started to bust loose in the early 70s. It seemed like that would be the perfect setting to get into the real estate business, and as all the changes starting to occur.
Well, Clark was a great guy to work for. I think I was down there 27 years, and we started when I when he started, because he started with Tom Lane, mm-hmm. and I don't know what year that was, but it was early 70s, like you say. I'm sure it was probably 69 to 70, right in there. And then he went out on his own. He had a little office right there where Mercury and Southeast Broad come together over there mm-hmm. on the right. I think it's a car lot or something now. There's, I think the building's still there.
I had forgotten all about that.
And I think Danny Lowe's daddy had a car lot there, the last person I knew that had one there. But I think Wayne Belt and Clark and Johnny, anyway, they called it the Mob Building. It was Maples. What was Johnny's last? Johnny Orr?
Could very well be.
But it's spelled, if you took the last names of all of them, it's spelled Mob. They called it the Mob Building. It wasn't much bigger than the studio we're in. But that's where he started. When I went to work for him, we were on fourth floor of Calvary, I guess it was called then. Mm-hmm. Probably changed his name, Murfreesboro Federal to Calvary. And then we were down there where Dr. Rollins' building was. Mm-hmm. And now Betsy's, Clark, she's got Betsy's running it now and doing a great job, I know.
Betsy is the sweetest girl. I mean, she really is. I remember when they were selling some of their, after Clark had passed.
Right.
I remember went over to the house and talked to her for a long time. And it was one of to see all the history that was in that house and to watch her. I mean, she's got a lot of Clark in her. I mean, you can tell her personality and everything.
And she's a fine girl, I'll tell you. She really is. And she's doing a good, she's got a good real estate mind, too. I don't think there's any doubt about that. She's, her daddy'd be proud of her, the way she's carrying on. You're a neighbor of all that.
Betsy, I mean, Clark just loved her to death.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can't go anywhere out in the Buchanan area unless you can run into a Maple somewhere. I mean, they're all over the place. And if they're not, the land is.
Well, you're right about that. They've got some of the prettiest land. Clark's place was so pretty out there on the Manchester Highway where you mm-hmm. where you are. That it always, I was envious of him, how clean it looked, still does back mm-hmm. in there. Cattle on it. And of course, Evans is over there, I guess. Where on the river,
right? He is
at the mill crossing there, and
where everybody likes to go and have a good time.
When I came back from school and whatnot, that's what everybody was talking. All the college people that were a lot younger than I was, they'd talk about had to go to Elam's Mill before the night was over. If the weather when the weather was good, there was a lot going on at Elam's Mill, but the Maples have been here a long time, and his brother Evans, and cousin Stewart,
mm-hmm.
really good people.
Now, you grew up on one of the biggest farms in Rutherford County, and you have lived pretty much in the historical district for quite a few years. What is the difference? I never would have figured that you would have ever left the old farm, but you had a calling to do something else, I guess.
Well,
You milked too many cows.
I tell you, I milked enough cows, Truman, to know I didn't want to milk them for a living. I don't know how many I milked. Not my brother, Bubba, milked, I guess, 40 years or more. Mm. And I didn't want to milk many more cows. But I was an old man when I married, and it was batching in town, and then I met Betty Sheble, and we just were living in town,
mm-hmm.
and we live now in the, what was town when I was growing mm-hmm. up. They call it the old part of town now. It was just town to me,
mm-hmm.
and it's I like it. I really do. We got a grocery store down there, and churches down there, and banks. It's all the legal ends down there. It's, yeah, I like it.
Are you in the historical zone itself?
We are. We
That's
are.
What I thought.
Yeah, 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 we are. And I, it's the only place I'd want to be if I was going to be in town.
You know, I've often thought that I would love to live in that area. It's just one of those places that you feel like that you're living inside an old movie there, because it's just so quaint and everything. You don't think of that, but I can remember, just like you, when that was about all Murfreesboro had at one time. It wasn't much larger than that, especially the city limits.
When they moved the hospital, it got a lot quieter, because right there where we live on Highland, the fire engines still mm-hmm. run it, but at least the rescue vehicles don't. And keep you awake all, but you get to where you sleep right through it.
I used to live on that other end over there, and I would hear them all night long.
Yeah,
and you're right. When you're close to a hospital, you might as well be close to an airport or something like that.
It's amazing what you get used to, though. You sleep right through it.
We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Tom Horn.
This is Truman Jones. Let me take just a minute to tell you about my friends down the road in Shevaville at Pirtle and Howerton Automotive. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, Pirtle and Howerton is the place to go. Ford, Mercury, Chevrolet, Buick, or GMC. You can find anything you need at Pirtle and Howerton Automotive in Shevaville. They take pride in the vehicles they sell and strive to succeed in great customer experience and satisfaction. Whether you are looking for a new or used, their friendly and knowledgeable staff are eager to assist you in your car buying process. You can check out their extensive inventory at PearlHowerton.com.
That's Pirtle and Howerton Automotive, 2006 North Main in Shelbyville. Don't let a 20-minute drive cost you thousands of dollars. Go by, see them today, or give them a call, 1-800-264-6800. Or online at PirtleHowerton.com.
It's been a busy week, and it's finally winding down. Too tired to cook supper? Stop by Kirk & Burt's and pick up our family pack to go. A pound of barbecue, buns, and your choice of side, all for just $9.99. Kirk & Burt's, 517 Kaysen Lane, just down from the theater.
Are you thinking about retirement living for yourself or a loved one? Think Adams Place in Murfreesboro. Retirement and assisted living, rehabilitation, and long-term care are available on their picturesque campus. Think it's too expensive? Think again. Adams Place Assisted Living starts as low as $100 a day. If you need a vacation, take advantage of assisted living's respite care for your loved one. Adams Place Retirement Community in Murfreesboro. Senior living at its finest.
You've known him for years. Now you can visit with him every day. It's The Truman Show, continuing right now on WGNS AM and FM.
We were talking off the air, and Tom Horde and I were talking about Mr. John Jolly, and that would be Jack's daddy. And you were telling me something. As long as I've known all them, I didn't realize that he did some minor league umpiring and was actually had visions of maybe being a major league umpire.
That's Jack was telling me that down at Lee Victor's Fish Fry one time, and I think the war, and if I remember Jack's story, he got caught in those war years, and of course went, I'm sure, was in service for 4 or 5 years there, and I think that interrupted that. But he was so active in baseball around here, and you were saying you played for him out the VA, and he was. I knew he was. I didn't play baseball, but I knew he was very active in youth baseball around here.
His dad was a very interesting man, and someone that, a very patriotic man. And I can remember that he used to open the court here years ago, and he's had such a voice. It was almost like a Shakespearean voice. And when he would open the court, it would actually put chills down my spine. It was amazing. And I can see by being around him why Jack became the type of man that he is, and a man that loved kids, loved sports. And, one that we did not mention while we were talking about all this was Norris Lover. And we were talking about getting haircuts, but he had a pool hall attached to his. And a lot of the kids that were growing up I think it's called the Pastime Billiards Place. Right. I believe that's what it was. And almost every kid that was growing up in the 40s and 50s spent a lot of time in that pool room.
I never shot in the pool. I don't believe I could hit the pool ball with the big end of the stick, but I was good friends with Larry and Ben Parsley, Mr. Mm-hmm. Joe Rich's son.
Yes, remember him well.
And I guess Mr. Joe Rich, he Norris worked for him when we were in high school,
mm-hmm.
and he had one or two pool halls. And I remember Larry, one of them, telling me a story about Norris and Mr. Joe Rich and Judge Holloway, and it seemed to me like there was one other guy. They went away somewhere, just maybe at 11 or not, mm-hmm. not far. They wanted to shoot pool all day and didn't want to be bothered by people coming in and bothering them during the game. They just left town.
Hmm.
Norris and all, they went somewhere and ate lunch and shot pool for probably 4 or 5 hours. Mr. Parsley was good to all of us. He gave, you remember the old Tiger Den?
Oh, yes, well.
When they set that up, he gave them about 4 pool tables.
Oh, my God.
Just gave them to him. I guess he was refurbishing his pool halls or something. But he was good to us. He was good to us. We grew up with Ben and Larry, who Mary Lou, as you know, just passed away a couple of weeks ago.
And that hurt me a lot, because I've known Mary Lou for a long time and considered a close friend. And she'll be missed in this community.
Did you hire her?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I knew she'd worked up there for years and was working the day she died, as I understand.
She was, and as you remember, Larry had brain cancer.
Right, right.
And he died early, which was a big misfortune, not only in his death, but it kind of set them reeling for a little bit, and it was hard for her to come back. And I was so glad that we had the opportunity to have her off, because she was really an asset to us.
She was a great, great gal. Buddy Smotherman lived over there where the old battlefield cemetery is,
mm-hmm.
on Van Cleve Lane, and I knew all of them. They were just a couple of miles from each other there, and he had the farm and so forth. Had 4 daughters, but Mary Lou was a good one, I'll tell you. She really was. She was great.
You think we'll ever have a chance to get Bubba on here? You think we could ever pry him off of the farm?
If I were having to bet, I would bet
no.
No. I would bet no. I would bet no. But now he's got some good stories.
Oh, he does, and I honor his stance on that, because I think a lot of Bubba, and he's one of our true originals in Rutherford County. You will never find another one like Bubba Horde, and Tom either, to matter of fact. And I want to, you guys have meant so much to this community, and you still do, and I want to thank you for being on here and sharing some of your historical facts and some of the friendships that you have made over the years. And that's what makes this community so great. And I really appreciate you, Tom.
Well, I want to thank you. I tell you the truth, I was apprehensive, a little scared, I guess, when I came on. You should have been doing this all your life. You put people at ease when you stick that microphone up there. It's just kind of like sitting at the coffee shop or something talking.
It's better than sticking a gun in somebody's face.
Oh, I bet it is.
Or having a gun stuck in your face.
Listen, that would be bad. With these tinted windshields, I don't like the idea of having to walk up, wonder what's on the other side of that dark windshield. But I've enjoyed it. I really have.
And we have somebody of a similar nature on tomorrow that we're still in a history mode. We have Mr. Matt Murphy on tomorrow. And you think of Murfreesboro. I mean, you can't get any further back than that.
He got here before. I guess his family got here before any of us, just about. I don't know. I've talked to Matt about that. I can't remember the years, but he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm. And we all remember his daddy.
Wasn't one there. There never was another one.
There's another original right there.
Oh, my heavens. He.
I could tell some many stories about him.
He was a character. I guess he and my mother and uncle were probably about the same time. But I remember Dr. Murphy mighty well. I sure do. Mighty well. He was a character. He was an original.
Well, we're going to have to sign off, but we'll be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock with Matt Murphy. And this has been such a treat for me, Tom, and I really appreciate you coming on with
us today. I appreciate you inviting me, Truman. Yeah. You've been a good friend.
You have too.